Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 36, text 16. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aristeniate daitye Krishnena Bhuta Karmana Kamsayaha Bhagavan Narado Deva Darshana. After Aristasura has been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. Omigana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, excuse me for being a little bit late. I pressed on the wrong link and somehow Rati Krishna figured it out. I'm starting a new story on the 10th canto, and I'm very kind of excited with this story. I've taught it before, but each time it has newer and newer meaning and different depth. And the basic story is about a great devotee who's called by, indirectly called by Krishna to come to Vrindavan. And actually, I'm really feeling it today. I spoke to one friend in Mayapur today, and then had some. Someone sent me some videos from Vrindavan. And I explained that this particular time of the year, I have my anticipation of coming to Vrindavan, and it's actually a great joy for me. So this year, because the airports there are closed and it's dangerous traveling, I'll be here indefinitely. But I was thinking of this story of Akrura, who was so anxious to go to Vrindavan that he took the service of the king of Mathura, Mathura being near Vrindavan, and it was a very, very evil king. And there were great risks involved because if the king ever found out, because the king, the arch enemy of the king, who was predicted to be his death, was Krishna. So if he found out that Akrura was actually favorable to Krishna, he would have been tortured. But Akrura took that risk. We take risks according to the what we are risking for. And according to the value of what we are risking for, that determines the level of risk we'll take. And this is a risk that I, you know, I will see Krishna. And I was reflecting, we'll be studying it later, but his mood when he's on that chariot to go from Mathura to Vrindavan, and he's saying, you know, today I will see the Lord of my life. And it's understood that even though he's going by chariot, and this will also be understood for us, it's not that you can go to Vrindavan just by chariot. And even if you did, even if it was just by chariot, you still wouldn't be in Vrindavan in the full sense, because we approach God. It's never a physical distance. It's always a matter of consciousness. I remember there was a quote by some Western philosopher, but I heard a great Vaishnava philosopher use it, where there is no circumference. The center is everywhere. So where is God? Where is Vrindavan? Pantastu koti sata vatsara sampragamyo vayor atapi manaso munipungavanam. Pantastu koti, you can go by the speed of mind for millions and millions of miles. How fast is the speed of mind? And you still will not be able to touch the feet of God. We are separated from God by faith. And faith means our trust in the value of that connection with God. We move by that faith. And due to that faith, we will be able to make the sacrifices necessary to announce in our hearts that this is the most important thing. And lo and behold, ye yata mam papadyante tamstataiva pajamyam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. Krishna is responsive. So we're separated from God simply by our desire. You know, there was one great intellectual, and people couldn't figure out if he believed in God or not. But it appeared that he did. But he would never say he believed in God. And then he was in an interview with another great intellectual who kind of asked him, frankly, in a way. And he said that that's such a heavy question, because if I believed in God, what would that mean to my life, actually? What would it mean to my life if there's actually an absolute truth that I should serve? I should serve the person, and I should serve what he represents. I should serve his teachings. He said, that's too heavy for me. How can I say I believe in God? So this is a very nice story, because it shows the aspirations and the desires of one who is making that journey successfully. And it also gives us the faith that we can make it. Utsaha nistya darya, six of the most favorable things for bhakti, among them utsaha, enthusiasm, nistya, faith, darya, patience. That faith and patience, and what is that patience? That patience is, that faith is, that this is such a great thing that there's nothing I can do to earn it. And if I feel there is, I haven't understood the value of what God is. So when I undergo some suffering and I undergo some difficulty, the only thing in my mind is that this is a very small price to pay. Because I understand, I'm not saying I do, but the person would say, because I understand what that means. So this is a person who, by his life of service, by his life of service, the chariot, which I guess represents the body or something, the chariot was moving towards God. And it would not move an inch if his mind wasn't absorbed in Krishna his whole life. Gita says, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantyante kalevram teb tamevaiti konte asidatad bhava bhavata. Whatever you're thinking at the time of death, to that nature you will go. But it's not just turning on the thoughts. When it says your thoughts, it means your bhava, it means your faith. Because your thoughts will not work. Your mood will remain, but your thoughts will not work. The time again, oh, let me remember God. No. Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja pankarajam ajeva me vishatu me manasaraja. Let me die now when the swan of my mind is entangled with the lotus of your thoughts. Otherwise, at the time of death, how will I remember you? So put yourself in that condition, that you get a call and it said, God is in the next town. I want you to go now to see him. And that's what happened to Akura. He was waiting for 11, 12 years, patiently serving this demon, Kamsa, who heard at the sister's wedding, the Akashvani, the voice from the sky saying that the eighth child of your sister will kill you. And that was Krishna, and he was always apprehensive about it. He had imprisoned Krishna's parents and killed the first six children, just worried that any of those children can be his death. What would it be like in your mind? And so this is what we'll find out, and we'll find out what the mind is that carried him. Now, I should mention two things. It's very interesting that there were two qualifications of Akrura, and I think this will come out later in the story. He had helped Krishna's father because Krishna's father was put in prison by Kamsa. And he was the trusted minister of, he was the trusted minister of Kamsa. So he was diplomatic. And people who are diplomatic, they can read other people's minds and influence and move them to where they want. Many of us have this talent if we want. We know how people think. So we say a particular thing that will get him to think that way. This is what false news, fake news does. Propaganda does. You know how people think? So you say the things to get them to think the way you want. And if the truth won't get him to think the way you want, then you tell lies to get him the way you want, or you're a little bit diplomatic. But this was in the service of protecting Krishna's parents. So he said, Kamsa, Vasudev, don't worry about Vasudev. That's Krishna's father. He's nothing. And in this way, he was able to influence. So he served a devotee. That is the most powerful thing. In the morning, we gave a class on Lord Chaitanya going to see this Kolavetra Sridhar. On a big kirtan procession, all of a sudden he goes to see this person who is poorer than the poor. And for external use, he had no money. He used to sell banana leaves and give half of his money for serving the Ganga. He had an iron pot that was so broken and repaired that even a thief wouldn't steal it. Lord Chaitanya went there and drank from that pot. And then Sridhar, the name of the simple man, he fainted because he wanted to serve God. He wanted to honor God. And now God is taking his remnants, and he just was devastated. But the devotee saw, look how Lord Chaitanya was honoring this person. Honoring the devotee because God is Baba Grahi. I love it. This word, Baba Grahi. What is Baba Grahi? He has sentiments. God has sentiments. And he's attracted. God is attracted by sentiments of the devotee. Not by the things the devotee has, but by the attitude that the devotee has. And by that attitude, you attract Krishna. So this was, he was serving. And that faith he had, he had this hope of seeing Krishna, and he took all risk in doing it. So this is serious business, to cultivate our consciousness in a way. And it takes some work. Main thing, we have to hear, because we don't change our attitudes without hearing the proper things and hearing with faith. So now the story begins, and interesting, where this story begins, it's not where we expect it to begin. It begins in Radhakund. Radhakund is the highest place, and what happened there? There was a bull demon, Aristasura, and he was terrifying all the people in this place, Ariyagram. He was terrifying them, and Krishna kills the demons. And who was this demon? He was sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. One demon after another was sent to kill Krishna, and one demon after another was killed. So after this demon was killed, then Narada Muni, the great saint, came. We're going to get to this today. And Narada Muni, the great saint, told Kamsa, it just doesn't work. Look how powerful this Krishna is, that every time you sent a demon to him, he is easily killed by Krishna. You have to bring Krishna here to your place. In sports, and I used to play sports, we call that the home field advantage. You have to get him in your own place to kill him. And it's very interesting because Narada is one of the great spiritual authorities, one of the great devotees. And he's telling Kamsa, you have to bring Krishna here to kill him. But he is here it says he's Narada, who is Deva Darshanam. Deva, God, demigod's God, Darshanam, to see. So it can mean many things. Deva Darshanam means that he sees Deva, the interest of the Devas. And what's the interest of the Devas? Kamsa is the biggest demon, and he's persecuting all the demigods, and he's incarcerated Krishna's parents. So he's Deva Darshanam. So he can see the interest of the demigods is to have Krishna come there and kill him. And Deva Darshanam means that he has the darshan of the Devas, and the Devas can see the future. So he can see the future, that, and he wants Krishna to come there to relieve the anxiety of his parents who are suffering there. And someone like Narada Muni that has that vision, we may not understand what he's doing because he could see the result, which may not be apparent. On face value, what does it look like? It looks like he's on Kamsa's side. But that's a very, very superficial understanding when you don't understand that he is Deva Darshanam, that he sees the future like the demigods. He sees the interest of the demigods. And he Deva Darshanam, and he sees Krishna, Darshanam, Deva's Krishna also. He sees Krishna everywhere and everything, and he knows who Krishna is. So he's just actually facilitating the Leela. And how is it connected to Radhakund? Because that's the whole story. Radhakund is the most sacred place. I see that maybe most of you here on the list have come to Radhakund with me. And what is Radhakund? Well, it starts with this story because the demon was in the guise of a bull. And then Sri Radha became upset with Krishna. You killed a bull. You're so contaminated, I will not see you or touch you until you get purified in all the holy rivers of India. And then Krishna dug his heel in and he brought all the holy rivers in India. And then Krishna said to Radha, actually speaking, you don't touch me because you're the offender. And you're the offender because that wasn't a bull, that was a demon. It was just dressed as a bull. But it wasn't a bull, so you falsely accused me. Now I won't allow you to touch me unless you bathe in the Ganga. And in Govardhan, there's Manasi Ganga. Krishna brought the Ganga so his parents wouldn't have to leave and could bathe there. And anyway, a long story then. That's the origin of Radhakund. But it's interesting that it begins at Radhakund because the end of this story of Akura, because Akura is being sent by Kamsa now because of Narada Muni telling Kamsa, you have to bring Krishna to Vrindavan. You have to bring him to Mathura. And there you can kill him there. So Akura comes to Vrindavan to take Krishna back to Mathura, to leave Vrindavan. And Akura means cruel. Akura means not cruel. And the gopi said, how can you have a name that's not cruel? You're not Akura. You are Krura. You are killing us. We can't bear the separation. And then that scene, if you're in Vrindavan and you go on top of the palace at Nandagam where Krishna is, and you can see the road that goes to from Nandagam to Mathura. And when Krishna got on that chariot and the separation, the feelings that the gopis felt, who have the supreme love of God, we can't imagine. We're attached to things in this world and how we feel when we lose them. It's unimaginable to lose those that are dear to us. But no matter how deep our attachment is, it cannot compare to the attachment, the universal love that the gopis have for Krishna. And when that chariot wheel starts to move, what is their feelings of love and separation? What are their feelings when they heard that Krishna tomorrow will leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura? What is their feelings of love when those chariot wheels begin to move? What are those feelings of love when Krishna actually has left Vrindavan? And what did Radha feel? What is the feelings of love of Radha at the height of her love when Krishna is leaving Vrindavan? That love is so great that Krishna himself has to come as his own devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to experience that. This is one of the stories that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would meditate on and pray for and aspire for, that I want to experience, I want to have those feelings of love. And really, this is the purpose of the Bhagavatam, and this is our purpose. And how we want love. And what love do we want? We want universal love. We want love for God. And when we love God, it means we will be loving everything. I'm looking out the window. Someone just arrived. I'm supposed to. Okay, I'm doing something after this and some people are coming. So what is that feeling? And we should, and this is one of the purpose why we hear the Bhagavatam. It's Rasa Shastra, it means it's perfect poetry, it's perfect drama, and it's encapsulating not any mundane mood, but it's actually encapsulating spiritual deep sentiments for God, and that when we hear it, we should develop by appreciation this type of sentiment. But this is the seed of it, that Narada is coming to Kamsa and telling him all these demons are, it's useless. You have to bring Krishna here. And that plan is going to be hatched. Now, one thing that's interesting here too is, how is Krishna described? Abhuta Kamana. Abhuta Kamana means he never uses weapons. Abhuta means wonderful. Kamana means that his activities are so wonderful that he never uses weapons to kill these demons. Putna, it's with his lips. Keshi, it's with his arm. Agastya, it's by fully entering into his mouth. How wonderful. He doesn't even use weapons. And how does he kill the bull? He kills the bull. It's not a bull, it's a demon. He pulls out its horns. And that is very, very significant, because it means using the horn shows that, how does he kill him? He kills him by his own weapons. And that indicates, actually, that's what the law of karma is. When harm comes to us, It's not that Krishna is doing the harm. Krishna is, we're doing it ourselves. That's the whole law of karma. But the law of karma is very simple. It creates conditions to teach us lessons that we couldn't learn by hearing previously. Otherwise, God could just arrange someone to tell us. But there's so many things. And that simple fact, I just explained to people how you can understand it. Think of someone you love that you want to change. Why don't you just tell them? It's very difficult to people to see beyond their own attachments. I'm looking back at my life. I'm going to be 70 years old. I'm looking back at my life. And all the things that I wish I had higher knowledge when I acted what I did. But I learned those lessons not by hearing. I learned those lessons by the circumstances that God put me in. And I'm thankful for that. Because my life and everyone's life is by getting a higher perception that ultimately we can see God, but we have so many different attachments and misconceptions and perverted intelligence and way we perceive things. But God is time, and time's observing us in the past and arranging for us now. You know, when you get into deep Krishna consciousness and you're praying and you're chanting, and you really have to ask God to give you, to actually give himself to you, there'll always be a hesitancy because, oh my God, what will God have to do to me to actually give himself? What will he, what way will he have to increase my faith? What component of knowledge will he have to give me? What will he have to take away to do that? What experience? I've already had so many fireworks in my life. What else? How loud will he have to speak to me to get me to understand the truth, and what should I be doing in life? So Abhuta Kamana, he killed him by the horns. It's not a weapon. He purifies us by what's in us. He doesn't have to add anything external to it. So now, after this demon, Kamsa comes. Narada comes and he tells Kamsa. This purport has the whole story of Radhika, so it's very long. Narada told Kamsa, Yasoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Ram is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudev, that's Krishna's father, entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj. And it is these two boys who have killed your men. Kamsa didn't know this. He knew because the eighth child was apparently a daughter. And when he grabbed the daughter to kill, because the voice from the sky, when he was driving the chariot of his sister Devaki, marrying Vasudev, and then that Akashvani, the voice from the sky came and said, no, the eighth child of your sister will kill you, fool. And here you're, and he was ready to kill her. And it's a long story, but somehow Vasudev, being such an honest man, he was known for his people. His word was gold, they say. And he said, it's not she that will kill you. Don't kill a woman who is your sister on the day of your marriage. I will give you the eighth child. See, he was waiting for the eighth child, and even Vasudev started bringing the children as he promised. And then Kamsa, look, oh, he, you know, it's not the child. And take him back. That's what Vasudev was hoping. But then he changed his mind and he killed each of the children. And apparently the seventh child had a miscarriage, but it was just Yogamaya transferring Balaram to the womb of Rohini. So they thought that was a miscarriage. And then then Krishna was born. And Vasudeva, when he saw Krishna, he said, I have to take him to safety. And he had to cross actually the Jamuna, and the gates opened up mystically. Of course, what's impossible for the divine Leela? And the river parted. And then at that moment in Vrindavan, Yasoda gave birth to a daughter. And he switched the children and brought the daughter back. And then when Kamsa heard that the child was born, he ran to kill the child, and she manifested in the air, and it was Durga. It was the material energy personified. So Kamsa was so fearful. No matter how powerful you are, Krishna says, time I am the destroyer of all worlds, and I've come to engage you. I am death. Of course, death is the illusion of non-existence. But when you have an illusion about who you are, then you're afraid of death. The whole point of the Bhagavatam, I was reading it this morning, I'm reading in the morning, is this question: what is the duty of a man who's about to die? And what should he not do? And what was the answer? If you want to be fearless at the time of death, then chant, hear, and remember Krishna. When you have realization, there is no fear. Fear is due to illusion. So when you actually see reality, there's no death because we're the soul. But easier said than done. Anyway, Narada is acting as this catalyst. And he goes to Kamsa here, and we're reading about in this verse, and he says that daughter is actually the son. That child that was born is a daughter. And Krishna, that Krishna in Vrindavan who you were trying to kill, that is the son of Devaki. That is your death. And that Balaram, and out of fear, Krishna entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj. And what is the word? Nyastau. He lent. It's only borrowing. He didn't give him to Nanda Maharaj. He's only borrowing him. And when you borrow something, it's going to return. And when it returns, it's going to kill you. Kamsa. And these are the two boys that have killed your men. You kept on sending those demons to do. These are the boys that killed it. And now they're going to come back. And who did he entrust it to? His Swamitra, not just his friend. He's very close. Vasudeva is very close with that Nanda Maharaj. This is a conspiracy. They're together on this. Nanda is also together on this. And those two boys are going to come back and kill you. And he's so angry. And he's so fearful, and he feels cheated by Vasudeva, and he's ready to kill Vasudeva. So why is Narada doing this? He's a great devotee. Why is he enthusing Kamsa? Because He's David Darshanam. He knows what the result is. He knows who Krishna is. And he knows that Krishna's parents are being persecuted. Okay, I'm going to have to stop there because I have this other small function here. There is a big fire yagya being organized in my house here. By Pandit Brahma Muhurta. He's one of the big pandits in ISKCON. He knows all the rituals and he's going to organize it. So I have to go there and speak a little bit. But would anybody like to share a reflection of the class? Again, I'm just looking at the list so I know everybody was kind enough to come to the class. And I thank you all. Okay, Jamuna Jaya, yeah.
Maharaj, I was just thinking that Kamsa had such potential. He had the ability to absorb his mind so well, but he absorbed it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
So that really just struck me. He had so much potential if he had been absorbed it in loving thoughts instead of, I want to kill you, in the fear. It just really struck me.
But because Krishna is absolute, in his fear, he thought of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And emotion is very powerful. But he actually, and it doesn't matter, he got very angry. And when you get angry, you make bad decisions, no matter how intelligent you are. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello quickly?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
We're driving.
Hey.
Hare Krishna.
Nice to see you, Ed. Wow.
Nice to see you too.
Where are you headed?
To New Jersey, to what beach is it?
Asbury Beach.
Asbury Park Beach.
Wow. You're coming to our neck of the woods here, actually.
Yeah. This is our first big drive to New Jersey. We're borrowing my parents' car, so we have some freedom. But I wanted to say there were so many gems that I took away from your lecture. It was hard to think of all of them, from starting with, you know, taking certain risks to karma of the circumstance that we're put in to learn, and then to death being, the fear and the illusion of not existing. There was just so many great things.
Wow, good. Thank you so much for listening to the class. And even though you're on your nice ride there. Wow. But, you know, this is where a lot of the people connected with me live. A few in Tom's Rivers and places like that. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Great. Nice that you remembered. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo. No, I loved the class, but actually something you just said to Jamuna Jaya really struck me, that when you're angry, no matter how intelligent you are, you make bad decisions.
Well.
That's the truth.
Okay, very good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Bulgamaraj. It's Joel Kaylee and Kaylee Kadamba.
Oh, Hari Bo. Kaylee, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to touch base again. Okay.
All right. Sounds good, Maharaj.
Okay. Maybe later in the week. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Is that?
Hare
Krishna. Who's that? Oh, wow.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
I saw one thing with this class, that there are quite a few new people. But you came to both classes. That's so great. Thank you. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who is that?
Nityangi Devi.
Nityangi, Hare Bo.
Hare Hari Bol Maharaj.
Thank
you so much for the class.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol. Good. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Today, I like when you were talking about Aristasura and how Krishna kills him with his own horns. And when you said that, I said, yeah, that's actually the law of karma. He uses our own misdeeds to purify us.
And I am so surprised that you don't remember that point that I said before. But that's great, because you've listened to so many classes that only very new realizations. Okay, thank you, Gail.
Yeah, great. I don't remember you having said that before.
I'm so happy you don't remember it. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Sri Rupa.
Sri Rupa, Hare Bo. Great.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Seva Priya.
Seva Priya, how nice to hear from you. Wow, great.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Malati Devidasi.
Malati, Hare Bo. Maybe we should touch base this week too, also, okay?
Yes, please. That'd be wonderful.
Okay. I'm going to have to go now because I have this kind of
function. Hare Krishna Maharaj, to say thank you.
Catalina, I'm so happy that you got to hear the class. Wow, thank you. And pray for me that I can return to Kali soon. Okay. I'm going to head out now.
Thank you for your class. Hear from you and your speech and the house soon, hopefully. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to head out now.